what Brother Chad was talking about is very appropriate, as this morning we'll be thinking about the example of Jesus and in fact how we look to him in our daily lives. As we think about the example of Jesus and why it's important to follow him, we're commanded to follow him. We look to 1 John 2, reading from the ESV this morning. 1 John 2 and 6. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So we're told to walk in the way in which Jesus walks if we claim that we live in him. We turn over to Hebrews 12, as Chad was reading from earlier. Hebrews 12, we read, "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." We're told there to look to Jesus as our example, the one who started it all, the one who started the church, the one who asked his apostles to begin the church and told them how to do it, and told people how to follow God appropriately. And he corrected so many misunderstandings as to how people thought they should follow God. He talked about following God with your heart and not just outwardly, for example. But part of his example there was that he used his faith to get him through a difficult situation, an almost impossible situation. He looked ahead in faith, and he knew that he would be seated at the right hand of the throne of God. But he didn't put anything above God. What would that be like to live a life without sin? He was that ultimate example, and he committed no sin. So what would that be like? He didn't put anything above God. He told no lies. He didn't lust. He didn't hate anyone. He didn't get jealous of other people. He wasn't greedy. And the list just goes on and on as to his lack of sin. But we can use his example as well in our lives. We can use our own faith to get us through situations that are difficult. And he certainly did that on the cross. The prophet Isaiah had something interesting to say about the sad state of man. When compared to God, though, when we wonder how we can live after that example, I'm going to read this from the NIV for ease of understanding. Isaiah 64 and 6, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away." So with that in mind, with us having these problems of sins, how can we follow that perfect example of Jesus Christ? Well, we may never be able to perfectly follow him, but it gives us a vision of what's possible, what can be strived after. When we're talking about examples, there's one that's interesting to think about. That's the 4-minute mile in running. That is, before 1954, nobody had been able to run a mile faster than 4 minutes. And then a guy from England broke that record and managed to do it just under 4 minutes. And since then, about 1,400 runners have done it. And the record generally went down from there. And the current record is held by a guy from Morocco in 1999 in 3 minutes and 43 seconds. So there's not much equipment to running. I mean, it's basically your shoes is about it. So you can't just say that this was from better equipment that runners got so much faster. How did people get so much better over time? I think part of it was that example of others, just seeing what could be done. And one runner might look to another and see them breaking that record and think, well, maybe it can be done. And just seeing what's possible. So I think that's a big part of Jesus' example, is just seeing what he did and seeing what we can strive after and what we can seek to achieve in our own lives and how we can avoid sin. So although our righteousness is as filthy rags compared to him, his example still gives us something to strive for. Look at what he did. He lived a life without sin. So how will I live today? Will I seek to become more like him? Will I get back up and follow his example even after I stumble? But let's look at some of the examples of Jesus. He was an example of serving. We see in John 13, and starting in verse 2, an incident that occurred with Jesus and his apostles. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Judas would be the one who betrayed Jesus, and which eventually led to his death. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." So Jesus knew what Judas was going to do, even in the midst of all of this. "For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, and also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So Jesus had seen the problems in their hearts. In fact, in the worst of it, Judas was about to betray him, and he knew that. Judas was about to turn him over to be killed. So certainly he was turning the other cheek here in doing what he did. But also his disciples sometimes argued about who was the greatest among them. So in the midst of all of these problems in their hearts, he wanted to show them what humility was, what service was. And he picked one of the lowliest things that you could do for someone at the time, and he did it with everyone in sandals. Their feet were probably pretty dirty. But in this example, he showed them that it doesn't even matter if someone is wronging you, is about to have you killed, in fact. It doesn't matter who you are, you should be willing to serve. And that was the example he was giving you. It was a very clear example. We should be willing to serve. In another case, Jesus was once teaching his apostles, and again, he saw how much they were concerned over their status among one another in Matthew 20 and 25. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came, not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." We can still look out in the world and see people obsessed with status and what other people think of them. There's this sort of look at me mentality out there in the world, and people often think of themselves very highly. But Jesus said that's not how it should be with us. We shouldn't be like that. We should be willing to serve, and it should just be a central part of our lives and not just an afterthought. We should be willing to serve. In Philippians 2 and 5, we read, "Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." So when we think back on the service of Jesus, we think of the many miles he walked in his preaching and his times of having very little, perhaps, to the point that he and his followers were eating leftovers from people's fields. His hours and hours of preaching to people, many of whom didn't want to hear that message. They were angered by it, what he had to say. And even though he was equal with God here, and he deserved to be served, really, I mean, being equal with God, but he gave his life instead as an ultimate act of service. He served so well that we would easily call him the greatest servant that there's ever been. So Jesus served. Next, we'll think about his example of suffering, how he suffered for doing right. Many suffer through great difficulties in this life. It certainly happens. And how do we make it through the problems of life? 1 Peter 2 and 18. We read, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing, when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and you are beaten for it, you endure, but if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure? This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." So Jesus suffered unjustly. All of his suffering was not deserved. He never wronged anyone. He was just telling the truth about being the Son of God and about how God wanted people to follow him and how some people were doing it wrong, and they really didn't like that. And yet, in his suffering, he didn't sin. He didn't hate those who were hurting him. He endured it. So we're going to face some suffering in our lives of various kinds. Some of it we bring upon ourselves, perhaps, and some of it isn't the result of anything that we've done. But we can look to his example to see how he endured that faithfully. He didn't blame God. He didn't become angry at those around him. He, in fact, we'll talk next about his forgiving. And that was another of his examples. We'll turn over to Luke 23 and 33. We read about him being put to death. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. So Jesus' own people had demanded that he be crucified. It was offered that they could take him back if they didn't really want him to be crucified. They could have pardoned one of those being crucified here. But what was their reaction? Crucify him. They wanted him more than any of those three to be crucified, even though he deserved it the least. But did he fight back? Did he demand their blood for this? None of that. He forgave them. And he asked his Father to forgive them because they didn't know what they were doing. So he's the ultimate example of forgiveness. He took all of our sins upon him, and he forgave us. So that's an example that we're to follow in our daily lives. Think about that example. When we are wronged by others, think how much more he forgave. How little is it that we can forgive in our lives comparatively? We certainly haven't taken on the sins of the world as he did, but he forgave. In Colossians 3 and 13, we read, "Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." So Jesus' example is still so powerful for us. Whenever we're feeling angry or unforgiving, we should think back about how we didn't deserve to be forgiven either, and yet God forgave. So his example is so powerful there in forgiveness. Jesus was a great forgiver. Next, Jesus was an example of teaching. He was often teaching and preaching. Sometimes he was teaching about things that people didn't want to hear. In Luke 13 and 31, we read, "At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, 'Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you.' And he said to them, 'Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today, and tomorrow and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today, and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Israel." Should perish away from Jerusalem. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" So he was teaching here, and they're kind of just trying to get rid of him. Why don't you leave? Someone's trying to kill you. But his teaching was very unpopular with them, so they just wanted him out of there either way, for whatever reason. So they tried to scare him by telling him, "Well, Herod, the leader, is going to have you killed." But what was his main concern in all of this? That the truth be taught, however uncomfortable it was to them or to Herod. He didn't care about being admired or his reputation or impressing other people. His concern was for the souls of those he taught. And he was, that was the difference between the way he taught and the way the Jewish rulers taught. They taught to be admired because they wanted to keep up appearances, but he taught sincerely. He taught because he cared about the people. And that's a great example for us when we are teaching others, when we're teaching our children. Do we do it because we care, because we love them? Do we do it for the right reason? We can follow his example in sincere teaching because Although it may not be comfortable always to hear what the Bible has to say, that we are still willing to teach it. Next, Jesus was an example of love. Why did Jesus give us all of these examples anyway that we've been talking about? Well, his greatest example was love. We turn to Ephesians 5. And we read, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So Jesus was so loving that he was willing to sacrifice his own life for the entire world. And so that means his love was general. His love wasn't for a select few people around him and his family or whatever it might have been, but he loved generally everyone. And so he loved perhaps more than anyone ever has. And so he's an example of love to us. And another interesting thing about the way he loved is that it was a true love. When Jesus saw that someone was about to walk off the cliff, spiritually speaking, he'd warn them. And he truly cared. You could say that Jesus taught real love. When we talk about love but we don't show it, that's not real love. But Jesus showed real love. We turn to 1 John 3 and 16. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." So we need to examine ourselves in light of this example of his. Am I showing real love to those around me, or am I just using the word? We need to have real love as he did. In conclusion, I've heard some stories perhaps about good leaders, good managers in the workplace and so on, and they often involve someone who leads by example. A good manager perhaps in the workplace may not just tell you go clean the toilet there in the restaurant, but they may get down on their knees and show you how to clean the toilet for the first time. So leading by example is powerful. It was part of Jesus' strength. He didn't let his pride ever get in the way of leading his people. And he led by example. He showed them what it is to be forgiving. He showed them what it is to love and what it is to teach honestly and to teach the truth and so on. His life was an example to us. So in the end, he gave one final example that we should think about, and that's Romans 8 and 29. "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." So Jesus' final example was to ascend to heaven, and that's certainly an example we want to follow.